It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. The Farm Bill ends at the end of the month, which is actually just a few days away. We'll get up to speed on the latest negotiations and consider what happens if lawmakers can't come to consensus on deadline. That conversation is just ahead. Right now, you're listening to the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Keely Boltina here with Jennifer Dargan. Listener contributions are the single largest source of funding at WPR. Your gift keeps the programs you value, including the morning show, on the air. So make your contribution now at 888-202-2552 or online at WPR.org.
We are looking for six more pledges in the next 25 minutes. We're cooking right along here. When you give, you fund the morning show and all of the other WPR programs that you count on. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're in the middle of the morning show right now. And after that, the Ideas Network and Wisconsin Public Radio are bringing you the live hearings of the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and a woman who's sexually accusing him of sexually assaulting her when they were in high school. This is relevant news. It's happening right now, and it's the kind of programming that WPR brings you consistently, the best and most important information you need to start your day and keep going throughout the day. What we need to remember is that WPR is listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make coverage like this and all of the hours across the Ideas Network possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take just a few minutes, and make your pledge.
Let the world know that you're a fan of WPR when you wear your cool new WPR socks. I'm looking at them right now. They are so, they just make me so happy. They're bright yellow and red, and they say Wisconsin Public Radio all over them. They are true fan socks, and you can ask for a pair when you give $10 a month or more, or a one-time gift of $120. Your gift supports the programs you care about, and you can get these cool and comfortable socks. It starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I just like to hear issues really fleshed out and not just soundbited. It's a good mix of local and national issues that are debated intelligently. I think Wisconsin Public Radio is important because we, the public, need to have a source that we can go to that is unbiased, that will have guests on who will present both sides of an issue. We can call in as members of the public and ask questions and get responses that are thoughtful, and I think that's really important. It's important to be informed. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Do that by going to WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of these programs that you count on. I'm Keely Boltina with Jennifer Dargan. We're raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all of the programs that you enjoy on the air. Whether your pledge is $10 a month or your pledge is $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And after you've made your donation to WPR, you can make your gift go even further by telling your friends and family.
Whether you use social media, you could call them up, you could mention it when you see them, you could wear your socks as a conversation piece that have the WPR logo on them. Whatever you do, let your family and friends know about your support for WPR. Plant the idea in their minds. First, though, you need to make your gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And we need four more pledges in the next 20 minutes. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Perhaps you've given in the past. Now is the time to become a sustainer. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Just pick up the phone, use it like a phone. Call 888-202-2552 or go online at WPR.org.
We got a great comment from David from Brookfield who pledged and said, "My love of WPR was rekindled during my paternity leave. My son is 4.5 months old now, and I have to go back to work next week, but I'll always cherish the wonderful memories of the first couple of months of his life, and it wouldn't have been the same without WPR." Thank you so much, David, for that comment. That's beautiful. Now, how about you next? Join him, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Negotiations on the farm bill continue as the current law will expire on Sunday. We're considering the consequences of not meeting the deadline and the issues lawmakers are hashing out. What questions do you have about the current farm bill? Farmers, are you worried about the farm bill status? Why or why not? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Christopher Bosso is professor of public policy at Northeastern University. His areas of interest include food and environmental policy, science and technology policy, and the governance of emerging technologies. He's the author of Framing the Farm Bill, Interests, Ideology, and Agricultural Act of 2014. Good morning, Christopher. Thanks for joining us on the Morning Show.
Good morning, John. Happy to be back.
So, given the state of negotiations, will the new farm bill get passed by the deadline of Sunday?
Almost definitely not. The conferees are still engaged in negotiations of a few sticking points, but there is absolutely no way. Well, I mean, okay, perhaps no way is exaggeration, but 95% probability that it won't get passed by both houses, even if the conferees come to an agreement by the deadline.
So, if we were placing a wager, the over/under would favor not getting passed. Okay, I get
it. I'd say it's pretty clear. I mean, again, you have a few days left, but the probabilities are not great.
Okay, so there's always a possibility of something happening in the last minute, but it isn't likely. What would be the immediate impact, if any, of it? If it doesn't get passed? I mean, does the agriculture industry grind to a halt if we don't have this law?
Well, actually not, and I think obviously there are very scare tactics out there, what happens if it doesn't get passed, but the reality is that a good many programs that, for example, that farmers rely on would continue for a little while longer. At least it depends on what you do. It depends who you are. If you're a dairy farmer right now for Wisconsin, for example, it probably won't affect you because they handled dairy under the Budget Act earlier this year. So ironically, dairy, which was a big sticking point in the last farm bill, is not a big sticking point this time around. And if the farm bill does not get renewed on time, the impacts on dairy will be relatively modest. Programs for new farmers, programs focused on organics, marketing, promotion, some conservation programs, the funding and authorization of funding for those will lapse, and most of them will stop taking on new claims or new memberships or enrollments because they don't have the authorization. But for the most part, the impacts on a lot of farming activities will be relatively modest, at least till the end of the calendar year. Obviously, what happens if you don't get a reauthorization, say by December, end of December, then of any kind, then you're going to have some problems because USDA functions will cease to, some of them will cease to exist.
Well, what about things like the SNAP program and crop insurance and all the subsidy programs? Would some of those just continue kind of running on their own momentum for a while and then stop, happens?
In terms of the crop programs, the various commodity programs, some of them will continue to run until the end of the calendar year. It just depends what you grow. I mean, some of the basic commodity programs are embedded in the permanent law. They'll continue on, although the rules may change. That's the real issue. It's not so much the authorization. It's that some of the rules under which these programs work may revert back to literally New Deal period rules. That's the big scare that everybody worries about, that what happens. Because every farm bill is technically a reauthorization of the permanent law that goes back to 1949 and 1938 even. So, some crops rules may revert back to old rules if nothing happens. Now, that's highly unlikely, but it could happen. In terms of SNAP, SNAP is authorized under a separate piece of legislation, the Food Stamp Act of 1964. So ironically, SNAP, which often is the big, sort of sticking point in the farm bill these days, it will continue on because it's authorized under a separate piece of legislation. It's bundled into the farm bill traditionally for political reasons, but its authorization continues, and Congress can only change that if it changes the actual Farm Bill Act of 64. The Food Stamp Act. I mean, the farm bill... ironically, if it does get reauthorized, SNAP just continues on.
Christopher Basso is a professor of public policy at Northeastern University. He is with us to talk about the Farm Bill. The current legislation or authorization expires this Sunday, and it doesn't look like Congress is going to meet this deadline. We're talking about what happens then and where we are with the Farm Bill. So you talked about there's some sticking points that are keeping this thing from getting done. What are the major issues that lawmakers are still negotiating?
Well, obviously SNAP is one of them. I mean, although they seem to be coming close to resolution from what I've been reading, that SNAP rules, I mean, the rules under which SNAP recipients, typically to what extent work rules are going to be enforced, or what kinds of new work rules for able-bodied workers. And again, you know, that's a contentious issue between the two chambers. The House typically is much more hardline in terms of work rules. Republicans in the House typically see that as their major sticking point. The Senate side tends to be a little bit less so because senators have much broader constituencies. So the two chambers are far apart initially on the stringency of new SNAP rules, work rules. Sounds like they're coming to some kind of agreement in the conference committee. And my bet is they'll probably have, you know, some kind of pilot programs and maybe some, you know, authorization for waivers that will be rescinded enough that the House Democrats would be satisfied enough to vote for it. Even if some Republicans don't. You know, but SNAP is turning out probably not to be as big of a sticking point from what people are reading in the conference committee. It's hard to know, of course, because there's just no way that you're going to pass a farm bill right now in the Senate with what the House wants. So the SNAP was a sticking point. Some of the commodity program rules and insurance programs, they're sticking points. Again, one of the differences between the chambers is House members represent smaller constituencies and often have very narrow areas of focus, where senators have much larger sort of perspectives. And so the two chambers oftentimes will battle over the specifics of commodity program rules, or rules, for example, on what constitutes a family farm. You know, so these are the kinds of things that are happening, and some of the insurance programs, the things are far too arcane to get into. But, you know, it's not unusual for their sticking points to exist, and they usually will work them out.
So remind us how huge and far-reaching the Farm Bill is. Give us a sense of the range of things we're talking about here.
Well, and in some respects, the Farm Bill shapes the food system, I mean, you know, in direct and indirect ways. I mean, you know, it's not an obvious, you know, agricultural subsidies shape, you know, the price of food. It's not quite that clear. But nonetheless, the rules of the Farm Bill, the spending in the Farm Bill, the programs in it really have a huge impact on the food system and on us people who eat, as opposed, you know, not just farmers, but people who eat. You know, promotion of organics, for example, research, basic research at the big research universities, you know, agricultural schools. You know, certain rules on trade or inspection of certain kinds of foods. Now, you know, a lot of that's in the Food and Drug Administration, but some of it's in the Farm Bill as well. You know, the SNAP program, nutrition programs generally. I mean, you know, the SNAP program, formerly known as food stamps, is about 80% of annual Farm Bill spending. And that's literally a $70 billion a year subsidy, if you want to think about this way, to the food system. Because, you know, the SNAP program is designed originally, and the food stamp program was designed to soak up commodity surpluses just as much as anything else. And so, you know, in some respects, the Farm Bill shapes a lot of our food system in terms of the kinds of commodities that it incentivizes and kinds of, you know, nutrition programs that we have. Why do we have the programs we have? So its impacts are actually quite profound, even if not directly impacting people in their daily lives in the way people think.
So how likely is it, do you think, that Congress will pass some sort of one-year extension or something like that to the Farm Bill, which they have done in the past instead of actually getting the whole thing done?
I don't know. Actually, right now, I mean, it's an election year, so election year is always funny. I mean, they still have time to pass the bill before the elections. I think there's a lot of heat on in this election year in particular to get a Farm Bill passed. Republicans in the House really sort of really do want it. Because there's a lot of House Republicans from rural constituencies that really want this Farm Bill passed. There's enough senators who want it passed as well before the election. Probably, if there's major sticking points, that might not happen. It also depends on whether or not the House and Senate are in session. I mean, the House says, you know, Speaker Ryan says he wants to, you know, the House to go two more weeks and then be out of session so that members can run for re-election. McConnell, the Majority Leader McConnell, says he might keep the Senate in session throughout October. It's anyone's guess. It's probably more likely that they might pass a new farm bill after the election. I think the probability this time around for a one-year extension are relatively low. I think they actually will get something done. They're not as far apart, it sounds like, as they were maybe in 2013. But again, it could all fall apart. You just never know with this stuff. But it sounds like this time the possibility of a one-year extension is relatively low. No one seems to want that. The way it sounds like, you know, Colin Peterson, the minority leader of the House Ag Committee, minority leader from Minnesota, basically says nobody really wants a one-year extension of the current farm bill.
Does this farm bill address environmental impacts of farming in our landscape?
You know, there are a lot of important conservation programs in the farm bill that people tend not to appreciate. And some of those programs, by the way, are sticking points in the negotiations. A lot of conservation programs in the farm bill, you know, sort of pay farmers not to, not to farm on ecologically sensitive lands, for example. Other programs literally are paying to clean up in the aftermath, such as concentrated animal feeding operations. Some of the conservation programs, pay for, you know, manure ponds, for example.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Sure. I appreciate your being with us today. Really informative conversation. Christopher Basso is professor of public policy at Northeastern University, the author of Framing the Farm Bill, Interests, Ideology, and the Agricultural Act of 2014. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.
This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Keely Boltina with Jennifer Dargan. Our goal in this drive is to make sure that you keep getting your favorite programs like The Morning Show.
And your gift of any amount is so important because your support provides the single largest piece of funding here at WPR. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are looking for one pledge in the next four
so
minutes.
Close.
If you're wondering if we're talking to you, the answer is yes. You are that one pledge. We have to thank those of you who have already given.
And if you haven't given, it's up to you right now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
Be that one person. You know, we just got done with this conversation about the farm bill as the deadline looms and why it matters, not just to farmers, but to people who live in urban areas, for people who don't think they have any connection to agriculture and what's happening in Washington and how that affects Wisconsin. This is listener supported. WPR is listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this conversation and hours throughout the day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take a few minutes, and make your pledge.
Make your pledge. Once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for, and WPR is one place where that is true every day. Consider maybe a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs that you love.
It's hard to buy much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news and talk and music possible. That works out to $60 a month, so make that gift at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Picture yourself perusing the shelves of your favorite bookstore with $200 extra dollars to spend. That could be you. You'll have 5 chances to win a gift card to a bookstore near you.
My partner loves books so much, and he would just have a field day.
$200 at a bookstore. A really nice Kindle case. That's the one that, don't tell Steve Paulson I said that. He'd be really upset.
Oh, that's such a hard question. I love books. I would probably just spend hours thinking about it. I'd be there for so long.
Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. Donate any amount right now to be entered. And here's how.
pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. I'm Keely Boltina with Jennifer Dargan. Listener support is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this fall membership drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you can do $100 a month. The amount that you choose is the right amount.
And when you think back to when you first heard Wisconsin Public Radio, maybe one of your first childhood memories was hearing WPR on your parents' radio. And since then, you become hooked. You can't get enough of the news, the in-depth conversations, everything here, the music, the great entertainment.
And now that you're all grown up, it's your turn to become a member like your parents are. That'll help pay for the hours and hours of high-quality programming you've enjoyed day after day and year after year. Join the WPR family. Support the radio that's been part of your life since you can remember. Start with a gift of $10 a month or a $120 donation. You can do that at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552.
You've made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, and we thank you for that. We're so glad you're here as a listener. Now make the decision to support WPR financially. It's as simple as that. We are listener-supported, and that means your support is crucial at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Jennifer, I have great news. We have met our goal for this hour.
Excellent.
There's still room for you, though. You're listening. You know you value Wisconsin Public Radio. And now is the time to prove that. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift now is such a critical part of making the programs you enjoy possible.
Join Holly in Verona, who pledged and said, "I've been listening to WPR since the 2016 election. Knowledge is power, and I'm so grateful for how well WPR equips me to navigate the world." Thank you so much, Holly. Join her, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Remember that listener support is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on, programs like The Morning Show. So show your support now. Your pledge is so incredibly powerful. Your support means something, and it really makes a difference. So show that. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and thank you.